This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. Hello everyone and welcome back to Not Always Polite. I hope you guys have had a great week so far. If you were wondering, my week was much better this week. We're finally having some fall weather here in Ontario and I'm very excited. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a little cold, but I think that it's very, very festive. So also, as usual, my demon dog is eating a bone. So if you hear anything in the background, I do apologize, but if I leave the room, then she's gonna follow me anyways. You don't care. Just ignore the background noise. This is not a high quality production here, friends. I'm literally sitting on my couch in my living room. So there's a visual for you. Oh my God. I was just talking and it wasn't even recording. So what I was saying was today I have a missing persons case for you guys. This is the oldest missing persons case in Ontario. This is the disappearance of Richard David Marlowe. As usual, there isn't a ton of information out there about this case, but I'll give you what I have and we'll go from there. I'll leave everything linked down below as usual if you want to do more research for yourselves, but I'll get on into the episode. Richard David Marlowe was born on February 9th, 1935 to his parents, John and Gertrude Marlowe in Etobicoke, Ontario, which is a subdivision of Toronto. If you've watched Don't Fuck With Cats, you know they pronounce it Etobicoke. That is wrong. Etobicoke. Anyways, Richard was only 9 years old at the time of his disappearance. By 1944, Richard's father was serving in the military and he was stationed out of town, while two of his older brothers were fighting the Allies in Belgium. Richard was given the nickname Pee-wee because he was very small for his age. He stood about 3 feet 8 to 4 foot tall, and he was very shy. He was in the third grade, and according to his mother, in a 1947 interview, he was, quote, getting along nicely. He was always the first away to school in the morning. He didn't want to be late. He was very quiet and would never go into a dark room and would never talk to strangers at all. Things came quickly to a screeching halt for the family. It was a Tuesday evening, July 18th, 1944, on Beta Street in Etobicoke. Most of the family had gone to a movie. I read that it could have been Bing Crosby in Going My Way or Gary Cooper in The Story of Dr. Wassell, but Richard had seen the movie the night before, so he decided to stay home with his older brother, Gerald. Richard went outside and he was riding his sister's old bicycle. He was wearing a dark blue windbreaker, long blue pants, a striped jersey, gray cotton stockings with a yellow band around the top, and an aluminum ring with the initials KL on it, along with a little blue hat that he always wore. Gerald was just inside, he was keeping an eye on him, and just like that, Richard was gone. Gerald did not see or hear anything. And apparently the dog did. That's very rude. As I was saying, Gerald did not hear or see anything, and he turned around and Richard was gone. All he saw was the bicycle laying in the front yard. The police were called and there was an extensive search conducted for little 9-year-old Richard. His father came home from the military to help and the police and military militia were involved in the search. They drained ponds, dredged creeks, checked down wells and in outhouses. So Gail Dykeman, whose mother is or was, I'm not sure if she's still alive, Eileen LeBook, was Richard's only sister. She was 18 at the time and said, quote, there was never any evidence found. So just to clarify, Gail would have been Richard's niece. So there was even psychics that offered to help the family, but of course they did not offer this service for free. They attached a hefty price tag to it and the family could not afford their help, which in my opinion is not a loss because I feel like those psychics are not usually right. But that's just my opinion. Reported sightings came in from all over, including Western Canada and Florida. If a body was found in the area, John and Gertrude had to go down to the morgue and take a look. They wanted to know if it was their son, but it never was. Gertrude dedicated the rest of her life to finding her son. She wrote letters to police forces across Ontario, pleading them to look for Richard. She wrote to the FBI. She wrote to newspapers. She mailed out hundreds of photos of Richard with no avail. The family even bought presents each Christmas, wrapped them, and put them under the tree for Richard. In 1947, it was a sleigh, a crokinole board, and some clothes. Every Christmas, Gertrude lit a candle and put it in the window. She told the Star, quote, "The superstition says that when the candle burns out, he will come back. Although three candles have burned themselves out, I'm going to light another one this Christmas." For the first 3 years, Gertrude dreamed about him. He appeared, quote, "clear as day," and asked, Were you worrying about me, Mommy? But for the past year, which was 1947, I haven't dreamed like that. So she thinks that Richard died that year because she stopped dreaming about him. 10 years after Richard vanished, his mother died at the age of 56. His father, John, died at the age of 80 in 1973. All three of Richard's brothers have passed away too. After retiring from the University of Toronto, Gail, who would have been Richard's niece, took the reins in the search for her uncle. After reading about the OPP's Missing Persons and Unidentified Bodies Unit, she spent hours sifting through the online database searching for clues. She eventually entered his case into missingkids.ca along with the OPP Missing Persons database. Despite being the oldest missing person case in Ontario, the search continues for Richard. According to the caseworker, Jessica Huzik, the search has been focused on senior citizens, of course, because this was many, many years ago that this happened. The Toronto Police have released a video of Richard and his family, hoping it may help to spark a memory. Eileen has celebrated Richard's birthday, February 9th, 1935, 70 times, every single year since he disappeared. According to the caseworker, Jessica, she talks about it more now because she's worried that when she passes, all the siblings are gone, he'll be forgotten. There is still an empty plot in the Glendale Cemetery beside John and Gertrude waiting for Richard. Eileen was worried about the plot in the cemetery, that his final resting place beside his mother and father would someday be sold off to someone else. Jessica said the family was assured that that will never happen. She said, quote, "It will remain there forever, waiting for bones, if they ever find them." And I just have to point out the stark contrast between this week's episode and last week's episode. This missing persons case is so different because last week the family didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to look for her. They just totally shut down. And this family was so invested and still is in finding answers. And it makes me even more suspicious about last week. But anyways, so what do I think happened? I do believe Richard was abducted, but since he was so shy, according to his family, I don't think he would have willingly went with a stranger. So he either knew the person that took him or the abductor grabbed him and forced him into a vehicle. However, that would have caused some commotion, I would imagine. So I feel like Gerald would have heard something, you know? Not one person witnessed his disappearance. He literally vanished. There was no report of a suspicious person on the street that day. Nothing. So could it have been a neighbor? And if so, what did they do with his body? Because they dredged ponds, lakes, all that stuff, and they didn't find anything. Unless they kept him for a couple years locked up somewhere and then discarded his remains when the searches were over. I know that sounds really morbid, but I'm just discussing possibilities here. And obviously in this case, it's not the 9-year-old would run away and start a new life. That's just not something that happens. So that's my theory. Let me know what you guys think on Instagram as usual. Now, if you or anyone you know has information about the disappearance of Richard Marlowe, please contact the Toronto Police Service at 416-8080-2222 or call 1-866-KID-TIPS. That's 1-866-453-8477. Or you can visit missingkids.ca and submit tips there. Thank you again for listening this week. I really appreciate every single one of you that comes back every week to listen. If this is your first time here, welcome. Thank you for joining me. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at NotAlwaysPolite. I'll post case photos there. We can have a little chat, all that good stuff. And also, if you could leave me a review wherever you're listening, it would really mean a lot to me. If not, that's fine. But, you know. Anyways, have a great week, guys. Have a good weekend. Stay safe, and I'll catch you guys next week. Bye.